Now, if you're joining us for the first time, you find us in the middle of a series that is titled The Blessing of Honor. The Blessing of Honor. And today we are doing part four. It has gone quite quick, right? Today we're doing part four. Thank you very much. Now, this part four we are doing, it is a second version of the series, the title we started last week. So last week, as a part of this series titled The Blessing of Honor, we started looking at God honoring in all. And we started saying that if you do not honor God first, any other honor in our view doesn't qualify to be honor. Because the honor has to go to God first. It is by you honoring God that you're able to honor everyone else. You know, it is so important for us to place these things in their rightful order. And so this morning, I want to continue on this notion of God honoring in all. So if you're writing and taking notes, which I want to encourage you to do, we are doing part two of God honoring in all. Now, let's look at what God honoring looks like. How does it look like to be God honoring in all? If you've been around this church, you'd find that that is our tagline, God honoring in all. We believe that God has called us to be a movement of God honoring believers who are systematically discipling nations by communicating and demonstrating the kingdom of God. That is who we are. And we say, let's talk about this God honor issue. What is it all about? Now, we looked at three aspects up to now. The first one is God honor is loving God supremely. When you honor God, you love him more than all other beings and more than all other things. It doesn't matter how great things you have. God has to be above that. The moment you love something more than God, the Bible has a term for it. The Bible calls it idolatry. And the Bible says you shall love no other God except Jehovah. And this morning I want to ask you, is there anything in your life that is highly esteemed above God? So that was the first point. The second one is God honor is fully submitting to the authority of God's word. You honor God by submitting to his word. When you honor somebody, you regard their word. Their word is powerful to you. It doesn't matter what people say, as long as your mom says yes. Come on now. You value your mother's voice. You value your dad's opinion. You value your friend's opinion. And therefore, before you make a move, you consult them. And we are saying, if you are God honoring, you consult God's word. You choose to submit to what he says, even when it doesn't fall in line with your preferences. There are so many times where I prefer to do something, but because I honor God so much, I would rather go with what he says in his word. Does somebody hear me this morning? That is God honoring. Thirdly, we said God honor is reflected in how and what you give to the Lord. God honor is reflected in what you give and how you give it. Because sometimes you can bring a fattened calf, okay? You can bring a big offering, but you're grumbling in your heart. That's not God honor. So when you're talking about how you give speaks of the heart and the attitude that you have when you give. Maybe you're serving as an usher, as a Go Kids teacher, as a worship team member. When you serve God, do you do it from a loving heart or you do it from a place where you're pressured? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy, his spiritual son, and he says to him, 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, you see, you're spoiled because by now you'll be looking at the projectors. Yeah. Now you're like, where is Timothy? Is Timothy a book in the Bible? Yes, it is. If you're having problems, go to the index. You'll be able to find the page number. Very, very, that's wisdom. Come on, guys. That's wisdom. Amen. So 2 Timothy, it's somewhere in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. Paul says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now, I normally say, don't read a verse. Read a paragraph. Don't just read a paragraph, read the chapter. Don't just read the chapter, read the book. Don't just read the book, read the testament. Don't just read the testament, read the entire Bible. Why? Understand the context. So the Apostle Paul is saying, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but there are also vessels of wood and of hay. There are vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. And then he says, the way you qualify to be a vessel of gold or a vessel of honor is by you dissociating yourself from certain things. He says, if anyone purges himself from these, what are these things that Apostle Paul is talking about? If you read the rest of the chapter, you'd find that the Apostle Paul was talking about a certain group of people that had arisen in the church. And these were people that were saying the resurrection has already happened, so forget about the second coming of Jesus. In other words, Philetus and Hermanus were preaching a false doctrine. So the Apostle Paul says, if you cleanse yourself from false doctrine, you then qualify to be a vessel of honor. It's just one of the qualifications of being a vessel of gold, of being a vessel of silver. He was then saying to them, if you are not careful regarding what you hear, what you pay attention to, you can find yourself becoming a dishonorary vessel, becoming a vessel that God cannot use. This morning, I want to ask you a question. What have you been paying attention to? He was telling Timothy and the people that Timothy was leading that be careful, there are people among you who are teaching a false teaching. This false teaching was saying there is no resurrection. Therefore, the Lord Jesus is not coming back. And he was saying, if you clean yourself from false doctrine, you qualify to become a vessel of honor. What does this tell us? It tells us that when you open your life up to things that are defiling, when you open up your ear gate to teachings that are false, you disqualify yourself from being fit for purpose. Does somebody hear me this morning? That is why, you know, you don't just open up your ears to any preaching. You have to ask yourself, is this sound teaching? You have to go interrogate and say, Holy Spirit of God, this teaching I'm hearing, is it aligned with Scripture? Be like the Berean church. When the Bereans were taught by the apostle, they would go and interrogate scriptures to ensure that whatever they were taught was in line with true teachings. And this morning, I want you to know there are a lot of false teachers out there. There are a lot of false churches out there. And you have to be careful what you are listening to. You have to enter a covenant with your ear gate, with your eye gate, with your mind gate, and say, I will not allow anything that is anti-Christ to be found in my life. Does somebody hear me this morning? I don't care how prophetic somebody is, but if their teaching is not in line with Jesus, don't listen to that. It will defile you. Now, it is important for you to realize it is God honoring when you covenant with the instrument that God has given you and say, I will not touch that which is not of God. I will not entertain accusations. I will not entertain false teachings because it is dishonoring. Now, the scriptures talk about how the honor of God is also reflected by what we give. So here we're talking about giving, or last week we were talking about giving your body. And here I was just finishing up this whole aspect that be careful about what you're watching and what you're listening to. You know, I was talking to my kids when we were away. We've been watching a series, I don't know if you guys know it, called The Chosen. Yeah. Powerful, okay? The Chosen is so powerful. It's not straight from scriptures, but what they're doing, they're imagining what was happening behind the scenes. And they create a story around that. So I was saying to them, you guys need to watch more of The Chosen, less of Netflix. Why? Because Netflix, a lot of the Netflix movies are anti-Christ. What they are projecting. So you watch a movie on Netflix that is, forgive me Netflix, but I have to say this. You look at a movie that is rated PG. And you're watching it with your son who is 9. You're like, no man, this can't be PG. This has to be above 13. And therefore, we need to be very careful, even the music that we listen to. And say, this music is not glorifying to God. I'm not going to listen to that junk. You know, my daughter, who is turning 13 next week, would ask me, Dad, but this music, I don't hear Jesus about this music. Should I be listening to it? And I say to her, you know what, for me, my default is I must just listen to what is God honoring. I listen to gospel music. I listen to not just gospel music, because remember, some of this so-called gospel music has got false doctrine in it. So it's not every gospel song that is God glorifying. Does somebody hear me this morning? So when you listen to music, you need to ask yourself, is this doctrinally sound? Does it edify me? I don't know why I had to say that, but I think God wanted to say this to somebody this morning. Let's continue. Talking about God honoring. And we're saying it's also reflected in what and how you give. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. Wow, whenever I talk about Malachi, in this current, I don't know if you guys are on Facebook, social media, Dr. Creflo Dollar came up and he said something very interesting. I've got a view on it, but we'll touch on it right now. Hallelujah. A son honors his father and a servant his master. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. It is the last book of the Old Testament. Come on now, guys. It is the last book of the Old Testament. So it's easy to find. If you find Matthew, just go one back and you're in Malachi. I'm going to give you some time to open Malachi chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Lord. No power. We can clearly see true Christians. Again, go to the index and you'll find Malachi. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. The Bible says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. But if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is your fear of me? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Wow. But you ask, how have we despised your name?
Verse 7.
By presenting defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? Saved by Eskom. But let's keep going. By saying that the table of the Lord is contemptible. Verse 8. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is it not wrong? When you offer blind animals, is it not wrong? And when you present the lame and sick ones, is it not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you or show you favor? Ask the Lord of hosts. Now, this is so profound because the Lord was challenging the priesthood and the people of Israel, saying, if I am your father, where is my honor? And if I am the king, where is the fear of the king? And then the Lord is start explaining to them where and how they had dishonored him. And the Lord was saying to them, you have dishonored me by how and what you have been giving me. What you have been doing, you've been going into the kettle pan and you look for the one that is crippled. You say, to the temple. You look for the lamp that is broken and that is blind, to the temple. And he was challenging them and he was saying to them, take that type of an animal to your governor or to your premier and see if he will be happy with you. Many times we don't think much about what we give and how we give, but God does pay attention. Does somebody hear me this morning? The Lord pays attention to what you give and how you give, whether it's money or it's your service or it's your time. The Lord pays attention to what I give and to how I give. The Lord pays attention to how I prepare for my Sunday sermons. The Lord pays attention to how I treat and I talk to each one of you. The Lord pays attention on how you come and lead us here in worship. And when you are serving in the house of the Lord, you need to ask yourself, am I bringing something that is of value or I'm just giving anyhow? You know, when the Lord is saying here that what you have given me, try giving it to somebody in authority and see if they will accept it. He was simply saying some of the things that we allow in the house of God is not allowed in our workplaces. Come on now. Think about how much time you take to prepare for your presentation at work. And think about how much time you take in preparing for your service. The things we have allowed in the house of God is not allowed in our workplaces. How many of you are okay by getting to work an hour late? Doesn't work like that. Why? Because the boss will ask you. You know what? At church, the pastor has no right to ask you, why have you come late to church? If your boss is not okay with you coming to work late, is God okay with us coming to church late? Let's take it to that level. That is why the Lord was challenging them and he was saying to them, you have dishonored the Lord your God because you've given him the worst amongst your sheep. You've given him what you cannot give to your governor. At some point, the Lord Jesus stood by the offering place, watching how and what people were giving. The Lord Jesus stood there, watching people giving. And the Bible says, afterwards, he went to his disciples and he said, did you see that widow who gave 2 copper coins? That widow gave the most out of all of them. And he said to them, do you know why? Because she gave out of her poverty. She gave everything that she had earned and she placed it in the offering basket. And everybody else was giving out of their plenty. Now in the book of Malachi, God addressed how he felt dishonored by what people were offering. And the Lord challenged them. And today I want you to know, the Lord is still challenging the church. The Lord is still saying, is this honorable? Do you know that we give more to our three-year-old kids than we give to God? Come on now. When they have parties, I mean, if you want to run a business that is thriving, do a business that has to do with kids. You will not run out. Why? Because parents are so attached to their children. They will do whatever it takes to make them happy. But remember, we said God honor is when you place him above everything else. If you are writing, put this down. You honor God by giving your best. You honor God by giving your best. And I want to ask you a question this morning. What is your best? And I want you to take note. I did not say you honor God by giving the most. I say you honor God by giving him your best. What is your best is not my best. Come on now. It's all relative. What is best for you is not the best of another. Giving is relative, depending on how God has blessed you. Okay? David knew how to give God his best. How does it look like to give God your best? How does it look like? 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 22. Again, let's open those Bibles. 2 Samuel, it's a book in the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 22. What is the story here? Let me give you the context. The Bible says at some point, King David decided to take a census of the people of God, of all able-bodied men who were able to be enrolled in the army. He decided to count them. When he decided to count them, he was trying to see how strong he was, how many able-bodied men he had. And in the eyes of God, it was dishonoring, and God was not happy. And the Lord said to him, to David, is this how we are doing it now, David? I'm so unhappy with you, and I want you to choose a punishment that I will give to you. Either you fall in my hands or you fall in the hands of men. And David says, God is full of mercy. I would rather fall in the hands of God. And God said there will be a plague. And the Lord released a plague which killed thousands of people. Until David cried out to God and said, God, it's not the sheep that sinned. It is me, the shepherd. Please let the sword fall on me and my family. And the Bible speaks about how an angel of the Lord that had its sword drawn out, that was located in a certain place, and the Lord said to the angel, hush, stop. And it was in that place that David chose to go and sacrifice to the Lord. It was a threshing floor of a certain man. And David wanted to sacrifice to the Lord on that threshing floor. So he went to this man and started talking about this threshing floor. Now, we are talking about this now in 2 Samuel 24, verse 22. And Arauna said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Behold, oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and instruments of the oxen for wood. Verse 23. All these Arauna, like a king, gave to the king. And Arauna said to the king, may Jehovah God accept. Can I just get some tissues there? Thank you. And Arauna said to the king, may Jehovah your God accept your offering. Thank you so much. Now, you see, this guy was generous. He was saying to King David, you are the king of this nation. I'm going to give you the oxen. I'm going to give you the threshing floor. Imagine, you know, in our current political environment, you know, guys would just take things from people for free. Why? Because they are people in authority. They abuse their authority. They do name dropping so as to get business deals. Do you know that Banibani is my uncle? He is an MP. But David refused to abuse his authority. Now, verse 24. And the king said to Arauna, "No, but I will surely buy from you at a price. And I will not offer burnt offerings to Jehovah my God of that which costs me nothing." And David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Arauna was quite generous to the king. But David refused. "Brother David, what is wrong? Why are you not just taking this offering? Why are you not just taking it for free, man?" But David understood the concept of honoring God by giving God his best. The clue is in this statement. "I will not offer burnt offerings to Jehovah my God of that which costs me nothing." I want to ask you a question. What has it costed you to serve the Lord? What has it costed me to serve the Lord? And this is how giving our best should look like. Put this down. Unless you experience some sacrifice, you have not truly given your best. Unless you have truly experienced some sacrifice, you have not given your best. This is so important, child of God, for you to understand how God honoring looks like when it comes to giving. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," not one of his sons. He gave his only son. So when you haven't experienced sacrifice, you have not given your best. And I want you to know that to me, sacrifice might be 15,000 rand a month to give to the Lord. But for you, it might be 5 rand. But the question is, have you felt a sacrifice in your giving? Secondly, your giving must cost you something that represents a portion of your very life. Yes. Your giving must cost you something that represents a portion of your very life. I run a business. I'm a consultant. In our business, we do consulting work. We are paid by the hour. So when we bill our clients, we have billable hours. So we have timesheets. My guys have timesheets. They must give me their timesheet for the month to see what I should bill the client. And so for argument's sake, 1,000 rand an hour. That's our billable rate. So the moment I give 1,000 rand to the house of God, I've given an hour of my time, of my life. And this is what I'm trying to say here. It must represent a portion of your very life. So when we come to the house of the Lord with our offerings in our hands, it must represent something in our lives. So it is God honoring when we give sacrificially. This brings me to the conversation that's raging online right now concerning tithes. An offering. So, I was invited to a conversation tonight, which I declined. I don't like commenting things on social media. There's a place for that. But for me, I have seen that a lot of periphery things have divided the body of Christ when the major things have not been dealt with. You see, when you talk about tithing, there is a whole lot of notions around tithing. But one of the things that I've grown up with is to always look at what the Lord Jesus practiced and what the Lord Jesus has taught. And what the apostles taught and what the apostles practiced. And right now there's an issue of, if you don't give your 10%, you are cursed. Come on now. Have you been there? Have you? You know, let's talk about it. Come on, let's bring it home. It is so important that we talk about it. So when you look at the ordinary Christian, his or her understanding of the tithe is very much intertwined with the law, isn't it? The reason why we are giving our tithe, many of you here who are giving the tithe, it is because you are afraid of the devourer. That if you don't bring your tithe, the devourer will come and devour what is in your pocket. Come on now. Isn't this the truth? And the day that you did not give your tithe, what did you feel in your heart? Guilt. Didn't you feel guilt? You felt something has gone wrong because I did not give my tithe. You felt like I am sick because I haven't given my tithe. Hello? You felt like the business deal did not go through because I did not give my tithe. So what you're doing, you are taking the law, and that is what you want to live by. Did you know that as far as the tithe is concerned, every third year, you're supposed to bring the tithe in the house and eat it yourself? Did you know that? That's part of the law. There was a portion of a time where people would not give the tithe into the Levitical priesthood. They would enjoy it themselves. Have you ever been taught that? Have you ever been taught that, right? Okay. Go and read the law of the tithe. You'll understand that there is a time where the tithe would not come to the house of God. The Lord would say, bring your tithe and eat it and enjoy it. Have you ever heard a pastor telling you that? Why haven't we been telling you that? To say, guys, this third year, don't bring your tithe. Just enjoy. Go and buy your plasma screens. Go and buy that TV or that car. No, we don't say that. What's my view on tithe? You want to know my view on tithe? It's so important for us to be scriptural around giving. The Apostle Paul is one of the teachers, or you know, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? Have you ever heard the Apostle Paul teaching on tithe? Those of you who are scholars of the word here, I don't know. I haven't seen the Apostle Paul teaching on the tithe. I haven't heard the Apostle Peter teaching on the tithe. The Lord Jesus alluded to the tithe twice in his teaching. Where he was simply saying to the Pharisees, you put weight on the tithe, but you don't put weight on issues of justice, on issues of love. And he said to them, I need you to place the same weight on these things. Okay? Now, when you're talking about giving in the New Testament talks about generous giving. It talks about sacrificial giving. It talks about sowing a seed. It talks about giving out of your willing heart. Let's go to the scriptures. If you look at the Apostle Paul, I've got a few scriptures here. I'll read them loud. So that when we bring our tithe, we don't bring our tithe because the law says bring the tithe. You bring the tithe because you are saying to yourself, it is a clear measure of a portion of my life. Does somebody hear me this morning? Amen. When you bring your tithe, I give my 10%. I've been giving my 10%. And God has graced me with the ability to do that all the time. And I don't do it from a legalistic place. I do it because I know my tithe is probably the top on my budget. When I give in the house of the Lord, I look at my budget. Right at the top is the house I'm paying. And after that is my tithe. It's what I give to the house of the Lord. And I'm talking about when I'm not able to give my tithe, I'm not going to go on a guilt trip that says, I'm haven't given, I'm cursed. The devourer comes into my house. No, I want you to realize that the Bible talks about, look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. But even as you are bound, it's again in the Bible. It's there. 2 Corinthians, it's in the Bible. Go to the index, you'll find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. But even as you are bound in everything. Now note that, even as you are bound in everything. You are bounding in your faith. You are bounding in your love. You are bounding in the word. And in all earnestness and in your love to us, you should abound in this grace also. What is this grace? The grace of giving. You must abound in this grace also, in the grace of giving. That is verse 7. Verse 12. For if the eagerness is present, in other words, if you are excited and if you are zealous about giving, if eagerness is present, it is acceptable according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. Do you take note of that? Okay? I'm sure if somebody is watching this on Facebook, they're going to like, this guy is a false teacher. But just hear me out. Hear me out. So important. For if the eagerness is present, it is acceptable according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. Let's park it there. Go to chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But I say this, he who sows sparingly, take note, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Verse 7. Each one, as he purposes, take note, saints, as he has decided in his heart, let him give. Not of grief or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The reason why people are kicking against this issue that Creflo Dollar is talking about, it is because it hits us where it matters, us as pastors. I want to be very clear with you. It hits us here. The moment we say, don't bring your tithe, we feel like we're saying people should not give. The New Testament giver should do better than the 10%. Does somebody hear me this morning? Amen. For me, the 10% is a benchmark. It's a starting point. I want to give more than, and I give more than my 10%. When Abraham gave to Melchizedek, okay? When he gave to Melchizedek, there was no gun, there was no law that required him to give. He gave out of his volition, out of his willingness, out of the bounteousness of his heart, he gave. Let's go to Jacob. When Jacob was at Bethel, the Bible says he slept, right? And he had a vision of a ladder whose top was touching the heavens, and angels were going up and down. And the Lord spoke to Jacob. It was after God spoke to Jacob that Jacob said to God, if you bring me back here, I'll give you 10% of everything that I have. Where was that coming from? From a grateful heart. It was coming from a heart that was full of love for his God who was going to protect him. And child of God, if you are here today, and you're saying, don't talk to me about my tithe. Don't talk to me about my tithe. And you don't give. Then there's a problem. Any child of God who has been touched by God, who has been loved on by God, will sacrifice everything for the house of his God. We should not be fighting about the 10%. We should be fighting about how generous have I been this month. Let's talk about Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The Bible talks about the early church, how they gathered, how they were so united, how they broke bread, how they prayed, how they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostle, and how they gave generously to an extent that there was no one who was in need in that church. Amen. How was that possible? The Bible says those who had farms went and sold farms and brought the money at the feet of the apostle. It doesn't talk about 10%. It talks about a generous heart that knew that I have plenty. I've got so many cars in my house, I can only drive one car at a time. I'm going to sell one of those cars and bring the proceeds to God's church. Amen. Somebody hear me this morning? Amen. You see, now people are saying, give us back the tithes that we gave to Creflo Dollar, right? They say, give us back the tithes we gave. Give us back the money as we bought the books, you know, that you wrote about tithe and all of that. It means you did not give from a willing heart. You gave from a place of fear, from a place of compulsion, and you're disqualified from a blessing. Well, if you don't agree with me, you can walk from this church. But what I'm saying to you, I'm not going to manipulate you and say to you, if you don't give, you are cursed. But what I'm saying to you, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So the more God blesses me, the more I should give. This house is not built on donations from the United States. It's built by you and I, who have understood the love of God. We say, yes, I understand. There must have been something about 10%. And therefore, I'm going to use that as a benchmark. If you go into the financial industry, they'll tell you, you must serve 10%. You must then give 10%. Then you must live off 80%. What is it about 10%? I don't know. But all I know is that my father of faith gave 10%. There must have been something about, he had a revelation of the 10%. You must have a revelation about your giving. Amen. And I want to say to you today, if you want to give your 10% because the law tells you to do so, you are doomed. Because then you don't qualify for grace. Everything else in the New Testament is built upon grace. Everything in the New Testament is built upon the love of God. You don't have to work for your righteousness. That is grace. The Bible tells us that him who knew no sin was made sin so that us who are full of sin can be made into his righteousness. That is grace. Amen. So if you want to obey only the 10% rule, then Paul says, you are bewitched, according to Galatians. Paul says, you started well. What happened? Now you want to go back? Why am I saying this? I'm not an antichrist preacher. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus teaches us to give sacrificially. He says, if you have a cloth, if you have a cloak, or two of them, give one to your neighbor. The Lord Jesus, if somebody comes and asks you to take them 1 mile, take them 2 miles. So the Lord Jesus was putting pressure on giving. And the Bible says the new covenant is better than the old covenant. And therefore we should be better than Abraham. Come on now. We should be better than what was happening in Malachi. Are we together this morning? So when we talk about giving in this church, and I'm sure you haven't heard me hammering a lot on the issue of tithe. You know, last week or 2 weeks ago, I say to you, do you think God will receive your fattened calf when your mom is in ICU and you haven't paid for her medical bills? Make me understand that type of God. Make me understand that type of religion where your mom is living with a leaking roof, but you're like, I have to be faithful with my 10%. Look, guys, it would be great if all of us can bring our 10%. We'll buy a new building tomorrow. But I'm saying let's do it from a place of revelation that we are operating under grace. Do not give under duress because there's no blessing attached to that. Could it be that we've been wasting seed? Because you've been giving under compulsion. You've been giving your tithe under compulsion. And I want to challenge you, if you haven't been giving, there's no blessing that accrues to you as well. The Bible says here, if you give plenty, in a plenty way, you will receive much. There is a principle of sowing and reaping. How do I justify you giving your 10% from the law? I'm not able to justify that. Because I'm not able to follow through, right through the process. There are people who talk about the first fruit. I've been to churches where we talk about first fruit. How do you apply the first fruit principle in our current environment? Rather, let's be generous givers. Rather, let's be sacrificial givers. You know, in a season where there's a windfall of finances in your life, give like you've never given before. Do you hear me this morning? In a season where it's tight, give sacrificially from your poverty. That is the point. The Macedonian church was a poor church. And the Apostle Paul says, this church surprises me. This church, out of their poverty, they gave. They even forced us. Apostle Paul, we want to contribute to the ministry. We don't have much, but we'll give that one penny. We will give. And I say to you today, in your poverty, still give. Amen. Because you are sowing a seed. Amen. And the harvest is always greater than the seed. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. And when the Lord has blessed you, keep on giving. Amen. I want to be the one of the biggest givers in our church. That's my commitment to the Lord. I say, Lord, I want to be the greatest giver here. Why? Because I know the soil is rich. Let's talk about it. A lot of us have felt manipulated for a long time. I'll probably finish there. I had more points. But it's important that as a church we become very true to the word of God. You know, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. And he says to them, I haven't been a burden to you. These hands have provided for my needs. These hands, I have worked. He says, I toil all night long to ensure that I am not of a burden to you. He says, I have a right to demand it of you, but no, I will not put that burden on you. Very few do teachers say those things. We say, muzzle not the ox that tread the threshing floor. There is a place for that. But I want you to know God desires us to work as well with our hands. Amen. I know there's a place in the Bible says those who preach the gospel must eat of the gospel. There's a place for that. But it must never come to a place where I always look at the SMSs. Who has given? Who hasn't given? Who has given? Who hasn't given? Sister, I haven't seen your tithe. My brother, I haven't seen your tithe. I've been to churches where those who don't give don't receive attention from the pastor. Yeah. We have a list. Come on now.
Yes.
I want to speak freedom over you so that when you give from a place of knowing that I want to give to the Lord.
Yes.
Not because the pastor is going to phone me because I haven't given. The Bible says, freely you have received, freely you shall give.
Yes.
Does somebody hear me this morning?
Yes.
People of God, it's important that we are God-honoring in everything that we do. Even those scriptures that are uncomfortable, we should teach them. My other point here was, it is God-honoring when you accurately represent God. And as a pastor, I must represent accurately the heart of God. What is the heart of God regarding giving? What is the heart of God regarding prayer? And I can tell you, if there's one thing that I'll demand of you, it is prayer. Amen. If there's one thing that I'll scream and shout about, it's for you to come here for prayer.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus said, this house shall be called a house of prayer. Yeah. I will scream. I will get angry if you don't come here for prayer. If you don't give, it's between you and God.
Yes.
How much you want of God will determine how much you're going to give. But if you don't pray, far be it from me. The prophet Samuel said, far be it from me if I don't pray for you. And I'm saying to us today as a church, let's be true to Scripture.
Amen.
I would love, to have enough to take my family on holidays. It would be great. But these hands have provided. But I will not stop teaching you on sacrificial giving. That's one thing for sure. And it is important as believers, you don't take me out of context and say, oh, Pastor M said we don't need to give our tithe. I'm saying we need to give sacrificially. If you can hit your 10%, praise the Lord. If you can hit your 15%, praise the Lord. But if you can do 2% and that is sacrificial for you, so be it. Let's give from a place of love, saints. And when love has touched your heart, you will go sell that car. Yes. The Lord will speak to you. The Lord will say to you, for the coming month, I want you to give 20%. How is it that the Lord speaks to us about everything else except sacrificial giving? How is it that we hear God about all other things except sacrificial giving? May the Lord continue speaking to us. I grew up in a church where guys would line up their cars outside. They would give. And there was plenty in the house of God. How about us here? I can tell you, if each one of us here gives sacrificially, there will be more than enough in this house. We'll take care of orphans. We'll take care of people who don't have. But we are not yet there yet. Glory be to God.
Amen.
I had more stuff to share. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward.